You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. She's spilling all of the tea on topics you know and love, whether it's annoying roommates, The Bachelor, or celebrity drama. Alessandra wants you to come along for the ride and join the conversation. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Coming at you from the Garden State, here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Hey, welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. If you're tuning back into your number one Real Talk podcast, you're the greatest of all time. And if you're new, welcome to the chaos. Today we have an incredibly talented guest you may know from The Bachelor's Listen to Your Heart, Sheridan Reed. Sheridan is a singer-songwriter from Texas. He recently released a brand new single titled Feeling You. We're chatting about the new single, his experience on the show, and more. Listen to the full segment to hear everything he has going on right now and what you can look forward to coming up. Hey, Sheridan, what's up? What are you up to?
Hey there. I'm just here in Austin, Texas. It's about 1,000 degrees out. I've just been working away, getting ready for this new song release.
Yeah, tell me about that.
So it's a new single called Feeling You. It's following up the last single that was called Coming Back that I actually wrote on Listen to Your Heart. But I'm really excited for it. It's a little bit kind of like Timbaland, a little bit more dancey, more upbeat vibes. Whereas that last song I released that I wrote on the show is totally like a very emotional, slow ballad kind of song.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when you were writing that. I watched the show. I thought it was great. And I know everyone's very excited to hear this new song coming out tomorrow. But let's chat about your experience on Listen to Your Heart just a little bit before we get into the music.
Yeah, definitely.
What were your expectations of the show and how did that compare to reality and, you know, what you actually did experience once you got to the mansion and started getting to know everyone and everything got rolling?
Well, I basically knew that I was going into a dating show with music competition aspects. It was a bit unclear how that was going to be incorporated. Kind of me and the rest of the cast, we all kind of went into it being like, all right, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's dating, it's music. I definitely thought that it was going to be just my preconceived thoughts that I was kind of guessing at. I thought it was going to be a little bit of like kind of songwriting competition, like you would go on a date with somebody, write a song with them, and then perform that as part of the competition or something. I thought that it was going to be a little bit more kind of just like jamming with everybody. Maybe there would be a room with a bunch of instruments set up that we could all kind of go and kind of, you know, see how you work together musically before even getting into the dating aspect. So it was definitely a little surprising that the first couple episodes really just mainly focused on the dating aspect without really getting too heavy into the music. That being said, though, I mean, I knew I was going to be hanging out with, at the very least, you know, 20 other awesome, cool musicians, and they definitely did not disappoint.
Yeah, for sure. It was awesome to watch. And I think the cool thing about Listen to Your Heart in general was that you, as the cast, were learning about it and getting used to the situation. And us as viewers were also experiencing the same exact thing because we had no idea what to expect. It's a brand new show, you know, the spinoff of The Bachelor. It was really cool. And I feel like we were all experiencing it together.
You, me, the producers, everybody was kind of figuring it out as we went through it. And I had never really watched The Bachelor before being on a Bachelor franchise TV show. So it was especially interesting for me as well. That was another unique aspect of Listen to Your Heart was that all of the cast was brand new to Bachelor Nation. Typically, you know, at least in Paradise, you have people from previous seasons coming on season, whereas this was kind of just all people brand new to the franchise. So that was another kind of interesting aspect of it.
For sure. And you know, you have a lot of people that come on the show and you could tell from the start when, you know, we're talking about The Bachelor, they come on or The Bachelorette and you could tell they're just there to promote their music. They just want to, you know, pull out the guitar the first night. They want to sing their song. They want to put the plug in. Hey, listen, I want to be an artist, whatever. They have their whole story. And so now the Jed Wyatts of the world were kind of like, oh shit, I missed my chance because this show is all about music and you get to be on TV and there's a chance to also fall in love. So they're kind of genius for coming up with that because hopefully now the people that go on The Bachelor are more focused just on the love aspect and then Listen to Your Heart can pull in those who are interested in both the love and the music.
Oh, totally. I was actually kind of surprised that nobody had done this concept before because when you think about it, it kind of just makes sense. Adding an element to the Bachelor franchise like this and adding this competition element, I think definitely is a cool spin that I really, really liked.
Going off of that, you know, the show, it went on. We had Chris and Brie as the winners. Everyone did amazing. I loved watching it each week, seeing everyone perform, do their best. But if you could change anything about how the show went, would you, or were you satisfied with the process?
I definitely think that the producers are, you know, they're used to dating. They're not quite used to music and musicians. And I think that if they had honestly just put us in a room together with a bunch of instruments and kind of just let stuff happen, I don't know, I think we would have seen some different connections form. Again, through music, us kind of just doing our natural thing. Whereas, you know, the first couple days, it was definitely more focused just on the dating aspect. So I don't know about if I would really change anything, because I don't know exactly how I would change it or what I would change. I would love there to be a little bit more of a songwriting aspect to it, but also not everybody on the on Listen to Your Heart cast is a songwriter as well. There are a couple people that have never even written a song that are mainly just performers. So I think it'd be cool to see a little bit more songwriting to it, but that's just coming from me as a songwriter.
Yeah, of course. I expected to see a bit more of that too. I thought it was cool when some of the dates incorporated songwriting, but then like you said, not everyone had a chance to get to that. So that would be awesome to see. Now, I know when you covered The Bones by Mary Morris with Julia, I was so obsessed with the way that you guys recreated it and the rendition. It was one of my favorites from the show. Definitely would have listened to that and bought it if it was, you know, like its own track. But it was just one of my favorites. And after that performance, I was like, oh, damn, like maybe there really is something here. Maybe these two have something. And then, you know, a kind of like mess occurred afterwards, as we all know. But have you chatted with Julia at all post show, or was it like bye, see ya?
I have. And actually, funny thing about The Bones is I had only heard that song about 15 minutes before our performance for the first time.
Oh, wow.
So I yeah, I had to pick up on that one pretty quickly. As far as Julia, yeah, we after the show we reconnected just to be like, hey, you know, let's see what we're like just as people in regular life and kind of just see how we get along. So we're definitely in communication. And then things kind of tampered down during quarantine because her having cystic fibrosis, she's very high risk for COVID. And so she was kind of just very much quarantined and kind of in her own world. We reconnected briefly right before the show aired and then ceased communication after episode 2 pretty much.
Gotcha. Yeah. Quarantine makes communication, you know, it's not as easy as it was beforehand. Everyone's on their own schedule. So yeah, I feel you. But it's good that you guys are still, you know, chatting here and there. I did see that you're hanging out with Savannah a bit right now. Are you guys planning on working on any music together, or are you just hanging out?
That trip was really, really fun. It was kind of last minute. She came down here for a day, kind of just showed around Austin. She met up with my producers and whatnot. As far as doing a song together, it's something we've talked about and we're figuring out. We might end up working on that. We might do something in the future. I might head out to Nashville. I know that Gabe Baker, he was hanging out with us as well. He's another contestant from Listen to Your Heart based in Houston. So all three of us were kind of kicking it a little bit. We ended up, just having a really, really good time. I got to see Savannah and I think Jamie briefly when I was in Nashville at one point as well, right before COVID all happened.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Because I know, like you said, things could have been different if you had more time to hang out with other people and kind of just jam out. So as a viewer, and I know a lot of other viewers would agree, we would love to see collaborations between other cast members. So it's awesome that you guys have chatted about that and hopefully that comes up at some point.
Oh yeah, I think she's a really, really talented songwriter and singer. I'd love to do something with her. We're figuring it out. We'll get there.
Yeah, yeah. One step at a time. But let's go back to the single that comes out tomorrow. What can you tease? I know once this comes out, people have already heard it, but what can you tell us about it and what was the inspiration behind creating it?
I will say the inspiration kind of came from a lot of different places. I had actually been sitting on this chord progression for this song for about 2.5 years, not really knowing what exactly to do with it, not exactly knowing kind of what I wanted to write about with it. And I'll just share with you the lyrics for the pre-chorus are, you're kissing someone else when I'm not around. I'm missing your body when he's laying you down. So it definitely alludes to a girl being with somebody else. And it's definitely much more of a succinct message, but you'll have to wait to hear the whole thing.
Okay, for sure. So a little bit of suspense, but we're cool with that. We will wait, and I'm sure it's going to be awesome. Now, one track of yours that I really do enjoy and I've been listening to is Coffee. Going forward, do you think your sound is going to be like more of a coming back type vibe or Coffee? Because I know you have a lot of inspirations. I feel like you could fit into multiple genres. And I know most of this industry right now is like, screw genres anyway. Are you going for a certain sound, or are you just like, hey, this sounds good, I'm rolling with it, it is what it is?
I think Coffee, Coming Back, that was definitely a unique song for me, as it's actually the first song I've written on piano. So it actually took me into kind of that ballad realm that I had never really existed in before. And that was interesting. And it was really great at the moment. Being able to write on piano was a really, really fun experience. But this new track is definitely more in the genre realm of Coffee. It's got some like 90s R&B kind of Timbaland influences a little bit, where I'm trying to exist a little bit in the alternative R&B pop, that kind of realm for right now. As far as what stylistically, I think I do like to vary up my releases so that there's some contrast in between them. So the next one you might see, it might not be as much as a dance track as this next one is, but it still might have more production elements similar to it.
Everyone loves a good variety, so that's great that you're balancing them out, and can't wait to hear more of the music in general. But I know you mentioned you're trying to go to the alternative pop type sound. If you could work with, you know, a producer, songwriter, artist, anyone in, you know, either of those genres, is there anyone that you would love to collaborate or work with that you just think it would be great?
Oh, yeah. Anderson .Paak, hands down. I would love to do something with him. Yeah, I remember when I first moved to Austin about 4 years ago, maybe about a year after ago, was the first time I'd ever listened to him. And he blew me away, not just as an artist, but also he does produce as well. He's somebody I would love to see working on my music or working just on something of his. I don't know. I just love to work with him in any capacity. I got to see him in Las Vegas in December, and his live performance was incredible.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You were definitely lucky. I know that so many of his fans would love to see him ASAP. And now we don't even know when concerts are coming back. So it is what it is. What are you going to do? But yeah, I could definitely hear like you and him doing a remake of Tints. Like,
oh yeah,
it would just be dope. Like I could totally see that. Is there a songwriter or a different producer, maybe more in like the pop field, that you could think of as well?
I mean, obviously I'd love to do something with Ed Sheeran. I think that would be phenomenal. Tom Misch as well. I'm not sure if he's quite pop enough for you, but he's fantastic. And that's the thing too, is at this point, I don't listen to a whole lot of straight pop. I listen to a lot of that kind of neo soul, alternative R&B. Another guy that I really, really love is Alan Stone as well. Vocals are incredible and his songwriting is phenomenal.
Okay. We'll look out for those. Hopefully, you know, those collaborations will come true one day. I love seeing, you know, people tweet and say like, oh my God, I'd love to work with so-and-so. And then it happens. So, and it happens very frequently. So that would be dope to see occur. So with this whole quarantine going on, have you taken more time to write music, and have you been able to like produce from like an in-home studio, or are you kind of just sitting on some songs right now until you can get into a real studio?
I work with a production team out here, and I've been really, really fortunate because during quarantine, they actually have been, they typically work with a lot of artists in LA, so they've already been kind of set up to do remote recordings. So I've been able to actually just FaceTime with my producer with kind of my at-home recording setup, as far as I've got an interface, I've got a microphone, I've got programs on my computer, and my producer can remote into my computer and control all of the programs while I'm recording vocals. So we've been doing it kind of that way, which has actually turned out great. That's what we did for Coming Back, and that's also what we did for this other song, Feeling You. Beyond that, it's definitely been the first couple months of quarantine, I was writing a ton of music. But I also do rock climbing and I pushed it a little bit too hard and screwed up one of my fingers for the last month. So that kind of put a pause on being able to play and being able to write a little bit. Thankfully, this week I've been back at it, trying to do a writing camp at the end of the month and just get a lot of new demos and a lot of new music in my pocket, essentially, so that once quarantine is lifted, I've got, you know, more bullets in the chamber, so to speak. Because again, with quarantine and with no live shows happening for the foreseeable future, it's really hard to tell what the state of the music industry is going to be like a year from now, or even 3-6 months from now. I was supposed to be playing, you know, official shows at South by Southwest. I was supposed to be touring in the fall. And now kind of everything is on hold.
Yeah, it's sad right now. Like, I don't think anyone expected anything like this to happen in our lifetime. And here we are, where every single concert for the rest of the year, at least that I know of, every tour, canceled, and people aren't even rescheduling yet because we don't even know what it's going to be like in January. Is there a second wave? So it sucks. It sucks for the fans. It sucks for the artists.
Exactly. And I mean, and that includes festivals too, which is the craziest part. Like here in Austin, South by Southwest got canceled. I think ACL already got canceled. Actually, my sister's going into her senior year of college and was hoping to get into working in festivals in some way or another when she graduated. And now I'm kind of like, all right, well, that's going to be a hard field to try to figure something out of right now since they're figuring it out themselves.
No, completely. Like, I had a few festivals lined up to go to this summer and it sucks. Even though it's outside, you know, there's so many people, so I get it. But it's just disappointing. Yeah. And it's disappointing for everyone, not just the fans and the artists, but also the crew and the people that make it happen, the managers, the publicists. Everyone's just kind of screwed over right now. And there's no one to blame. You know, who could have thought this would happen?
Oh, totally. I know. Who would you say is your favorite, or what was your favorite concert you've seen?
Oh, man. You know, this is the toughest question. I've actually been to over 150 concerts in my lifetime. I have a list running on my notes on my phone. And so whenever somebody tells me this, I'm like, well, are you talking about like the stage production? Are you talking about? So I go on a whole list. But overall, I thought, you know, I was kind of dragged to 1989 tour Taylor Swift, and I wanted to see Haim so bad. I was like, all right, I want to see Haim, like, whatever. I know some of her songs, like, that's fine. I paid like a crazy amount to be on the floor, and I thought, oh God, like, I like Taylor Swift, but I'm not like a huge fan. Oh,
you're not a Swiftie?
Oh, now I am, because that tour completely changed me. I went in there with no expectations. I was like, I'm just trying to see Haim, like, the end. And then go in there, I see the whole show. I left like mouth open. Oh my God, this girl is insane. Her production was crazy. It was, I didn't even know like half of the songs, and it's still by far one of the best shows I've ever been to. So overall, I always put that on my list because it was just crazy. So good. So now I'm like, I've been to every show since. So she really knows how to convert people. It's wild.
Oh, man. I'll have to add that to my bucket list.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I know she was supposed to have that whole like lover fest over the summer in LA and Massachusetts. That got canceled. So feel bad for her, you know, huge fans on that, because I know that was supposed to be something fun and something for people to look forward to. For me, it's been super hard because I usually go to like at least 5 shows a month. Once this kind of came up, everyone I knew was like, what are you going to do with your life? And I was like, thanks, appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know.
Pottery or I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm going to start whittling like by myself. I don't know. So then I was like, you know, I already do interviews usually over the phone and before concerts, after concerts. But I'm like, I got to start doing podcasting or I'm going to go insane. So I started it about a month into quarantine. And now I'm glad I'm able to talk to people like you who are also going through the same things. And we're all going through the withdrawal of no concerts, no performances, performing, all of that. So it's been good. You know, once this all gets lifted, we're all just going to go crazy, going to every single show. We're missing out on so much right now that it's like, all right, full speed ahead.
That's one tough part about this right now, too, is with everything going on, if I hadn't have been on Listen to Your Heart, I probably wouldn't be putting out any music right now, because people's attention is so all over the place, and the state of the music industry is as well. So I was really, really lucky just kind of to have this platform to be able to still be putting music out as well.
Speaking of, did you gain a lot more fans and listeners and new types of fans from the show? Because I know being on such a popular show and being a part of such a big franchise, I feel like it's a no-brainer that you're going to get people listening to your music that may have never found it otherwise.
Oh yeah, it definitely gave me a massive amount of exposure for fans that probably wouldn't have come across my music otherwise. Again, I'm also like not the typical look for the Bachelor franchise as well, just with tattoos and long, like, And I think that was kind of interesting for people to see, and people liked it, which kind of led them to go check out my music and find that they actually enjoyed that as well. So it's been really, really beneficial. It's been opening up a lot of doors and giving me a lot more opportunities, which has been fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what I love so much about that show. You know, even the people that go on and they're looking for love and it doesn't work out, the doors open and maybe they had a passion for fashion or even journalism. I know like Ashley I from the show is now like a big entertainment journalist. And So it does open a lot of those doors. And when one closes on love, another one opens, as cheesy as it is.
Yeah, a lot of us going into it were like, well, I'm hoping to find love, but I know at the very least, I'm going to be hanging out and meeting some awesome musicians. So if like nothing else, if it doesn't work out for me, like we're all on each other's teams and trying to help each other out. So that's been really, really cool. Kind of a lot of the cast coming together for each other.
Yeah. Speaking of, have you been keeping in contact with a lot of them? Do you guys have like a group chat going, or do you just stay in contact with the select few?
We've got a group chat, but it's on WhatsApp and I don't have notifications on, so I'm barely ever on there. But I definitely keep in touch with several of them. Gabe, because he's in Houston, and that's been really, really fun getting to hang out with him. Actually, him and Savannah and I, when she was in town, we all did a podcast with Danny that just came out, I think, yesterday, I want to say. And I still chat with Danny. I haven't chatted with Matt super recently, but I was talking with Chris the other day. I spoke with Russell earlier today. Yeah, so I definitely keep in touch. Not as often as I'd like to, but that's just because, especially since the show's airing, life's gotten a little bit insane and hard to keep up communication with everybody in my life, from friends to family to now also like my cast members and then also all my music connections. It's a lot to manage.
No, I totally understand. And yeah, I think everyone that had a show airing in the middle of this coronavirus mess, they're really going through the same exact thing. That's something that I've heard a lot about just through conversations with people doing TV, music, movies. It's all the same. Like everyone has a million things going on. It's understandable, but it's good that you made those lifelong friendship connections and you're staying in contact with people. You never know, collaborations, working together, or just connecting with other people through them.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool too. I actually met over the weekend some girls from Peter's season. So I'm now connecting with other Bachelor Nation people as well. And that was really fun. I think I'm actually going to be in San Antonio next week and I might end up connecting with Mike Johnson. Like, so it's kind of fun becoming part of this crazy, weird family.
No, for sure. Mike Johnson is a gem. Obviously, don't know him personally, but I was rooting for him to be the Bachelor. Sorry, Peter. Also love Peter. But my vote was for Mike. And yeah, if you get to connect with him, oh my God, that would be awesome. Who did you catch up with from Peter's season, if you could spill?
Yeah, it was, I think, Jasmine and Tammy and Alea. I think that was it that day. Yeah. Yeah, I caught up with them for like an hour and a half, had a drink real quick. That was my first time and first experience meeting other people from the Bachelor Nation. I think there's a couple other that live here in Austin and San Antonio and Houston. So it's kind of fun, all the Texas people getting together a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, a lot of people from the franchise end up finding love with people from other seasons. And it's not just Bachelor in Paradise contestants, but just people connecting through DMs. So you never know. You know, we could be watching a Bachelor wedding in a few years.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, that would be really cool. That's all I have. One last question for you. As the year goes on and, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, I understand that things are up in the air, but do you have goals for yourself as an artist just regarding the rest of the year, considering that touring and live performing may not be realistic?
Oh yeah, definitely. So we've got this single coming out tomorrow. After that, I think the goal is to probably have a lyric video and an animation video for, or like some sort of visualizer for it, come out in the next few weeks. Possibly shooting a stripped down video for Coming Back, and then having a brand new single out hopefully end of July or beginning of August. Besides that, I'm kind of planning on reassessing things in the fall, just again with the state of the industry. But I'm hoping to have about 100 new songs written and demoed out by the fall as well. Beyond that, I can't really say, but I'm just trying to set myself up for success and be ready for when things are opening up again.
Wow, that is straight hustle right there. So we'll have to, you know, stay tuned, follow you on streaming platforms, and the suspense is real. We will definitely find out what you have in store, though, and support you on that. Can't wait to hear all of your new music. Think it's going to be great. I know it's going to be great. And yeah, if it sounds like coffee, it's for me. And if it doesn't, it's for me.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're going to dig this one for sure if you like coffee.
Awesome. I also love Coming Back and all your other tracks. So I know I like it, but especially the fans of Listen to Your Heart and your fans from before the show, the OGs. I know everyone's super excited. I see them tweeting and, you know, gearing up for this release just like you. So we're all excited. We're all on board and we can't wait to see what's next for you.
I'm really excited too. And again, thanks for having me so much. And just giving me this chance to talk about my music a little bit. It's been fun.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. That's the Tea with Alessandra G. I'm happy we got to talk a little bit about the show, but also about the music that you have coming out, possible collaborations, concerts, all of that good stuff. I know we're all on the same page here, and listening to people chat about music is one of my favorite things. So I hope those listening are also enjoying this, and be sure to check out Sheridan's new single,
came out this week.
And that's all you need to know. That's the tea on that. Huge thank you to Sheridan Reed for coming on That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Please be sure to support his latest single by listening and streaming everywhere. Follow him on socials and all of that great stuff. All of that and more is linked in the description of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands.